Father, we thank you for those words to Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Tonight, the teachings and sharing is going to be on unlikely servants, Nebuchadnezzar, and also Donald Trump. And so we're going to begin with another perspective, too, is learning about many times Nebuchadnezzar looks like the enemy, and Jerusalem looks like the servants of Yahweh. And it was really just the opposite.
Yeah.
So Jerusalem is the enemy, and Nebuchadnezzar is a servant of Yahweh to come to burn down Jerusalem. Wow. Don't see that coming. Same way today, many times in the churches, the Methodist Church, you know, the Catholic Church now with the Pope just kind of blessing sodomy, the Methodist Church endorsing and embracing complete sodomy, and that was Wesley, the Wesley brothers. They would be shocked. Harvard was a divine university. It was based on Christianity. Yale was a Christian university. And now they've been completely overthrown by Satan. And they actually are run by Satan, as was Jerusalem, was run by Satan. The high priest crucified Yahweh's son. So think about that. Pontius Pilate was going to let Yahushua go. He'd be like a Donald Trump, or Nebuchadnezzar, and the church wanted to crucify him. It's just backwards, completely backwards. But that's the way today in the same situation. So we're going to see that. The failure of Israel, you see this foundation of how Nebuchadnezzar became a servant of Yahweh, is the failure of Israel and Judah. And so we're going to go to Deuteronomy 26. And just look at this covenant. So I don't think many times our eyes are not open to the church, you know, the established church, as being the enemy of Christ and Yahweh that people come to on Sunday. Here's just an example. 50% of the church, Catholic and Democrat, Catholic and Protestant, vote Democrat. They vote for sodomy. They vote for abortion. They vote for stealing from your neighbors. That's half of Christianity. The person who votes the most for Republicans is the Mormons. Mm-hmm. Now think of that. Mormons are ousted by the church. That the Catholic and the Protestant Church would say Mormons are abomination, mm-hmm. when actually their church, by having Democrats in their church, is an abomination. Mm-hmm. And so I think 76% of Mormons vote for Republican, while 50% is Democrat and Republican. You know, so it's just backwards. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's always been that way. So again, look at that. Now, Deuteronomy 26, 16 through 19. Now, what a great promise this is. Here's the covenant. This day is Yahweh thy Elohim commanding thee to do these statutes and the regulations. Thou shalt therefore observe and do them with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast a vow today that Yahweh shall be thy Elohim, and that thou wilt walk in his ways, and keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his regulations, while hearken unto his voice. And that's been changed to Jesus. So Yahweh's been erased in the Christian church today. It's Jesus in most places right now. They have replaced Yahweh with Jesus. And Yahweh is about today that thou shalt be his people as a treasure, as he spake unto thee, and that thou shalt observe all his commandments, and that he will set thee on high above all the nations which he has made, for praise and for renown and for glory, and that thou shalt be a holy people unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, as he has spoken. This is the foundation when they're about ready to go into the land of Canaan. They haven't been there yet, but this is the 40th year. So this is real simple. Now, in chapter 27, we'll see right here, verse 15, we're going to see the curse. You know, if you break this covenant, here's what you're going to get. And it goes all the way to chapter 29, 1. Curse, 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 curse. Warning upon warning. And that's the same way with us too. We have been warned, warned and warned and warned. The blessing is only from chapter 28, 3 to 14. It's only 11 verses. The blessings are 11 verses. The rest of it's all curse. So when we see Israel as a nation, Samaria or Jerusalem, eating their children because they've been seized upon, it's because of the curse. And in this relationship, Moses, Yahweh through Moses, warned them, this is what will happen if you break this covenant. And they did it. Now we go to 2 Kings 17. And we're going to see, you know, really look at Israel. You know, this is about Nebuchadnezzar coming in as the good guy when it would look like he's the bad guy. Jerusalem is the bad guy. Why? We're going to see the Persians, the Chaldeans were the good guys. So we're going to go to, what did I say here? 2 Kings 17, 1. So we're going to see the history of what went wrong. Let me see here. Oh, I mean 5 and 6. I'm sorry, not 1. 5 and 6, but this tells you about it. And the king, this is about Samaria. So remember, there are 12 tribes. 2 was Judah and Benjamin, and the other 10 was Israel. So you have as Judah were 2 tribes, and Israel was 10. They broke away after King Solomon died. And obviously, the population was, you know, Israel had probably triple the population that Judah did, because there's 10 tribes compared to 2. Uh-huh. So we're going to see, this is like the end of Israel, the 10 tribes, history. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land. Yea, he came up to Samaria, that was the capital of Israel, and besieged it how many years?
3 years.
3 years. And this is where the pestilence comes in, and the starvation, everything else, because we've stopped all the food supply. And in the 9th year, Hosea did the king of Samaria capture Samaria and carry Israel away captive to Assyria and settled him in Halah and in Harbor by the river of Gozan and the mountains of Media. And that goes into Persia area. So Israel, because of their wickedness, is gone. Hezekiah is in charge right now. He's in Judah. So this happens 134 years before Judah is gone as a lesson. So we're going to look at, okay, here's what you did wrong. Now, the king of Assyria, they were really bad people. That was the capital is Nineveh. They're the ones who would cut your ears off and cut your nose off just to show people, don't mess with us.
And you're on the
tree. It reminded me of Hamas today. Yeah. Hamas is the same way.
Yeah.
This is what they went and filmed. The atrocities that they did, and then put them on the internet. They're proud of what they did.
They're Assyrians.
Yeah, it's Assyrians. They're terrorists to say, you mess with us, here's what you're going to get. Now we go into the same king. So here's Assyria. Israel was north, and so Assyria was even farther north and came down and took them. Well, the next place is Jerusalem. You know, that's, you know, Samaria's right here north, and then obviously the king of Syria just took Israel.
It's like Oklahoma.
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, they're right on the border of Jerusalem now. So what's going to happen? So we're going to see that. And let's see here. Let's see, 2 Kings 18. And it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel. That was the last king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So we see now this is Judah being reigned, and we're going to see them. Let's see here, 18. 18, and now we go to verse 13.
What chapter are you in?
The same 18.
And chapter what? I mean,
so we have 2 Kings 18:13. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah came up Sennacherib, king of Assyria, against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Here's the same thing happening. But we're going to say that Israel fell, and that's the curse, the result of the curse. And we're going to look at Hezekiah and Judah got them. And that's the blessing. Even so, the same king, and actually, if you're looking at your manpower, it's probably one-third of the manpower. You just did Syria. I mean, you just did Israel. We're about one-third of that, so you should do us in no time whatsoever.
Like Kansas City and Wichita.
Yeah, yeah. So now you're going to look at 2 Kings 19:35. And this is kind of the end of the story. And it came to pass during that night, because they were surrounding Jerusalem, that the messenger of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's the blessing.
That's, wow.
You don't need the numbers. All right? You are small in relationship to the 10 tribes. But this guy spoke against me, Yahweh, and Yahweh defended him because you're worshiping me. And when men arose early in the morning, lo, they were all dead bodies. I just love this. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, brake up and went his way and returned and remained in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was bowing down in the house of Nisra, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharzer, his son, smote him with a sword. So not only did we kill out 185,000, we killed the king. What a victory! And that is the difference between a blessing and a cursing, but between following Yahweh and not following Yahweh. So we're going to see, so Israel, according to Bollinger, fell in 611 BC, and Judah's now going to fall 134 years later, which is 477 BC. So you're going to have to say, why can't you learn this lesson? That's the same way with us today, with the churches. You know, we got idolatry where all of a sudden we got three gods in our church. You know, you've got the manifestations. You can't speak in tongues and you can't interpret. You can't prophesy. And you're going to love and embrace homosexuality. But I'm going to love the sinner. I'm going to hate the sin, but I'm going to love the sinner. So I bring them right into my church, which is completely contrary to 1 Corinthians 5. And, you know, so there's a teaching idea. It's called 1 Corinthians all over again, the Corinthian church. And everything that they did was as repeated today, basically. They're not going to speak in tongues. They're not going to interpret. 1 Corinthians 15, nobody's dead. Everybody's in heaven. So the resurrection makes no difference whatsoever. We're not going to judge people, which that's 1 Corinthians 6. I'm a Paul, I'm a Paulus, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Luther, I am a Calvin, I am this. That's 1 Corinthians 4, I think, or 3. And so everything is just right in the same plants. Now we're going to look at, here's the kings of Judah. Hezekiah, 29 years, good or bad king?
Good.
Good. Manasseh, his son, 55 years, good or bad king?
Wicked but turned.
Yeah, very wicked, very wicked. Amon, his son, wicked or good?
Wicked.
Wicked, 2 years. Josiah, 31 years, wicked or good?
Very good.
Jehoiakim, wicked or good?
Wicked.
Look, wicked, 11 years. And then Zechariah, wicked or good?
Wicked,
11 years. And that was it. The fall, that's the final fall, going into captivity. And actually, it's, you know, the deliverance of Jerusalem. Actually, when we think of Daniel, he was taken captive in the first seizure of Nebuchadnezzar. And that was Jehoiakim, which we're going to see. That was actually delivering him from wickedness.
Yeah.
So taking, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Daniel, and so forth, is actually delivering them from the wickedness. Instead of taking them out of Jerusalem, they were saved. Now they got castrated. That's a problem. But at least you got your life because you were eunuchs. You know, you're, and why we can say that? Because who was ahead of them? The king of the...
Head of the eunuchs.
Eunuchs! And why do they have eunuchs? Because you're not going to procreate around the queen in the king's palace or anything else. So anybody who's in the king's palace is a eunuch. That's just the way it was. Except for Joseph. Joseph wasn't.
Yeah.
And now the prophets during this time period was Isaiah, who's up to Hezekiah. So you have warnings and warnings, and this is what we can do today too, is to give the warnings. Jeremiah was a prophet all the way through, and Ezekiel is a prophet. And now we're going to look at the abomination of what Jerusalem became, and that's in Ezekiel 16. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, chapter 16. And we have to think about that, you know. People think Jerusalem, when Yahushua was alive, was a great place too. But he would say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that slew the prophets.
Yeah.
So if you want to be, they were so good that they killed anybody Yahweh sent them. Isn't that backwards? Yes. That's supposed to have been the Gentiles.
John the Baptist beheaded.
Yeah. Well, that was by Herod. Let's see, Ezekiel 16. Well, I don't know if that was in Jerusalem, but obviously he was beheaded. And that was because of his wife. He didn't want to behead him. You know, he got drunk and got sucker punched. And so remember that with anybody else. You better be very careful on alcohol, things like that. Because did Herod resent that? Yes, he did. He didn't want to kill John the Baptist. And remember, too, with the women. And, yeah, this is true. And men. But here you got, did Herod's wife like John the Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
No, he told her, you cannot have your brother's wife. And his wife hated that. So Herod tells her daughter, you know, you please me so much, you can have up to half the kingdom. And then she went to her mother and said, what should I get? What? The head of John the Baptist. Well, damn, what do I want to do with a head? You know, I could have half the kingdom. I could be the wealthiest woman in the kingdom. And I'm going to take the head. But that's what her mother did. The head of John the Baptist. And I thought, wow. And it shows you demonic presence, especially with Jezebel. And Jezebel could just be ruthless. And
Athaliah.
Athaliah. Yeah, these women behind the scenes were, and they're obviously very good men. Deborah.
Yeah.
Deborah. And Miriam and all sorts of stuff. But don't ever be fooled that a woman... You know, we know men can be very nasty. That was the kings and everything else all the time. Yeah. Manasseh, people like that. But don't ever think that women can't be just as nasty. And you're looking at that where it makes no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking out for your self-interest, I take half the kingdom.
One woman, you want that garden?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was, yeah, Jezebel with Ahab. Oxhob is his real name. But I digress.
No, I was talking about Esther, the story of Esther.
No, that was, the garden was Ahab, couldn't get the garden, and he pouted, his wife said, I'll get it for you, babe.
My story's wrong.
Yeah.
They bought.
And he's culpable, because all of a sudden she got it for him. She didn't say, well, how'd you get this, honey?
Yeah.
Don't ask. Yeah. It's yours. Hey, he went and got his garden. And then Elijah came.
He knocked off a bank?
Yeah.
Don't ask where I got you this money.
And then Elijah came and had to talk to him. And he paid because he had his blood end up going into that garden by following his wife. Now, Asa a different one. His mother had a big symbol, phallic symbol or some kind of symbol, and he ended up getting rid of his mother, didn't kill her, but you're not queen anymore, and destroyed her
monstrous
image. So that was good on Asa, on the reflections, but that's not what the teaching's about. 16, 1 and 2. Let's just see how bad a Christian community can become. So we're going to look at Jerusalem. Let's just say today a Christian community, and that could be the Catholic Church, that could be the Protestant Church, under the guise, and just like this was, the religious institutions that Yahweh set up in his city that he set up, and they said, we are your servants, right? Okay, no doubt about it. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, and that was Ezekiel, son of man, let Jerusalem know her abominations. Therefore shalt thou say, thus saith my Lord Yahweh to Jerusalem, thy origin, thy birth was the land of the Canaanites, thy father was an Ammonite, and thy mother a Hittite, and it goes on and on. We're just going to get the high points. He's talking to Jerusalem. This is during the reign of Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, the last 22 years. 15. Then didst thou trust in thy beauty and become unchaste because of thy fame, and to pour out thy unchastity upon every passerby. His it was. 23. We're just hitting the high points. And it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe to thee, exclaimed my Lord Yahweh. This is the church. 28. Thou didst also extend thy unchastity unto the sons of Assyria, because thou wast insatiable. 35. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Wow, look at that. That's Jerusalem. Therefore, hear thy word, O harlot. 48 to 52, that's kind of what's happening. As I live, declared my Lord Yahweh, or this is really Adonai Yahweh, verily, Sodom, thy sister, that's now that it's referring to Samaria, Jerusalem is Samaria, or Israel, and he's calling Samaria Sodom. These are Yahweh's people being called Sodom. Verily, Sodom, my sister, had not done, neither she nor her daughters, as thou and thy daughters have done. You're worse than Sodom. This is Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar is coming in to destroy. Why? Because we're going to find out he is Yahweh's servant. Nebuchadnezzar is Yahweh's servant? Yes. Not King Zedekiah. Not King Jehoiakim. Lo, this hath become the iniquity of Sodom, my sister. Pride, fullness of bread, and careless security came to her and her daughters. And the hand of the oppressed and the needy she strengthened not. So then they became haughty and committed abomination before me. And I took them away when I saw. That was the king of Syria. Took them away. 134 years ago. Think you should learn your lesson? Nor did Samaria commit one half thy sins. You know, we how bad Ahab was. You're double. And that's probably through Manasseh and the rest of it. And that's not the rulers. That's the people of Jerusalem. That's the church. That's the members. Let me start over at 51. Nor did Samaria commit one half thy sins, but thou didst multiply thy abominations more than they, and didst cause thy sisters to appear righteous by all the abominations which thou didst commit. That Ahab looked righteous compared to what you. Thou also bear thy own reproach, which thou didst adjudge to thy sisters by thy sins, which thou was more abominable than they. Thou makest them appear more righteous than thou. Thou also, therefore, turn thou pale and bear thy own reproach for making thy sisters appear righteous. This shows you how bad they were. But now we're going to go into Daniel 1, and we're going to see actually Daniel is taken captive and being delivered from this institution.
Like a prison of sin.
Yeah.
He's taken out of prison.
And so remember, one thing we've got to remember, if you know the book of Daniel, which we won't go through too much, but you're going to see the rulers in the book of Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar was who? Daniel. So when Nebuchadnezzar goes in to destroy Jerusalem,
where Jeremiah is.
Yeah, where Jeremiah is, it's Daniel who's giving the counsel that the Jerusalem needs to be destroyed.
Burn it.
Yeah, you're going to have to burn it down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we're going to see that in Daniel 1 through 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, and laid siege against it. And the Lord gave into his hand Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and a part of the vessels of the house of God. He brought them into the land of Sidon, into the house of his gods. The vessels brought he into the treasury of his house. We're going to see that, and we'll go down to 6. Now these, and there was among them out of the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so you're going to see here, we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. But we've got to look at Nebuchadnezzar. Yahweh's actually delivering these people from this wicked pool of worse than Sodom.
Wow.
Now we go to Jeremiah 25. And Jeremiah is in this cesspool prophesying. And this is, we got to look at the church today. We just got to look at different institutions. If you're not following this book, it's very apparent. And the Methodist Church, Lord, you're gone. The United Methodists, I think they're just gone. Now, the Catholic Church, now once the Pope, blesses sodomy, wherever that's going to end up, it's just hideous. We never thought that would even happen. But here's 25:1-2. And the word which came unto Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Joash, king of Judah.
Josiah,
king of Judah. The same was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It's kind of the preface. Go to 8. Well, 8 and 9. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold me sending and fetching all the families of the north, declareth Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. Yahweh's calling Nebuchadnezzar his servant over Jehoiachin. And I will bring them in against his land and against his inhabitants and against all these nations round about. And I will devote them to destruction and make them an astonishment and a hissing and age abiding desolation. Who's bringing Nebuchadnezzar in?
Yahweh.
That's how bad Jerusalem was. Yikes. God. We go to 27:5-7. We're going to see he's also called my servant. Yahweh, I made the earth and the man and the beast that are on the face of the earth by my great power and by mine outstretched arm, and gave it to whomsoever was right in my own eyes. Now therefore, I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. Moreover also, the wild beasts of the fields have I given him to serve him. Therefore shall all the nations serve him and his sons and his sons' sons until the time of his own land itself arrived. And so you're like, okay, so these are, back to our deal, the unlikely servants of Yahweh, which I'm going to relate to Donald Trump. Nebuchadnezzar looked like the enemy to the religious community. But actually the religious community was enemy against Yahweh. And we're going to find out in the history, during this time period, we got the book of Nehemiah. He has been put into Persia. We got Mordecai's been put into Persia, and it's probably from the Assyrian Empire. There's 134 years, so that could be three or four generations that have been put over there. Mordecai, Esther, we're going to see Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ezra. So all these people were in the Persian, the Chaldean, and probably were put there from the Assyrians, and then Persia ended up getting them. But they became very instrumental. The nations that were supposed to be the unbelieving nations became the salvation of the nation that was supposed to be Yahweh's nation, you know, who became the enemy of Yahweh. So everything just reverses. And we'll see here.
It's really like remodeling. The line of the Christ.
They're going to clean up Jerusalem by burning it down, and they're going to rebuild it.
Yeah, let's go to, what did I say here? I'm at 27. Let's go to 37, Jeremiah 37. One through two. And we probably don't even have to go here, but let's just look at this. Because Jeremiah is telling King Zedekiah, surrender. You're not going to die. This is so polluted. We're going to clean house. And actually, I think it's interesting what Benjamin Franklin said. He was talking about, on the Constitution. Is it a monarchy or a republic? And he says it's a republic if you can keep it. But when people become immoral, they need a despot.
Yeah.
Because they can't control themselves, and if the majority are immoral, they cannot be, they cannot vote, because they will vote their own destruction. And so you need somebody who with an iron fist, who is righteous, and many kings have been done that, and you're going to obey because I tell you to. You look at Chicago. Mm-hmm. So once you let it go in the inner city, it's just death and destruction. Mm-hmm. And so you need a despot to come in there, and anybody who kills is dead meat. And that will stop it. Mm-hmm. You get in the police department, and you need despotism to come in there because they will not control themselves. Okay, 37, so this is about, he's talking to Zedekiah to give up. 4 through 8. Now Jeremiah was going in and out in the midst of the people. They had put him into prison. Yeah, so the good guy, they put into prison. So a guy named John Biddle was in England in the 1600s, and he says there's no Trinity, and they put him in prison, and he ended up dying in prison. A guy named Tinsdale put the Bible into English, and they put him in prison and killed him. The church did.
Burned him alive.
Yeah. The church did. And so you're looking at the same history. The Catholics did the same thing with the Protestants. You burned people at the stake. Martin Luther went against the Jews in a capacity that said we should confiscate all their property and burn their stuff. Just hideous stuff that can happen. It's all documented. Let's go back to 5. And the force of the Pharaoh hath come up out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans, who were besieging Jerusalem, heard the tidings of them, they went up from Jerusalem. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah, who sent you unto me to inquire of me, Lo, the force of the Pharaoh, which is coming out to you to help, is about to return into the land of Egypt. Then will the Chaldeans come back and fight against this city and capture it and burn it with fire. And so Yahweh is even giving them a last chance. Another place in here, Hebrews, we're not supposed to keep other Hebrews serving for more than 6 years. The 7th year is supposed to let them free. And so this is in Jerusalem. So they said, let's do that. We're going to free everybody. And so they free all their Hebrew slaves. And then after a month, we don't like to do their chores. Let's round them up. And so they round them all back up, made them servants again, slaves. And, that is documented through this too. 14 through 20. Then said Jeremiah, we don't look at that, but they put him in the prison. They put him, here he's speaking Yahweh's word. So should we ever be surprised if we speak Yahweh's word that the church is going to come against us?
No.
Right. No. It should almost be expected. Okay. When you speak that, when the church won't even say Yahweh, think of that. That's how bad we are. The church is embarrassed to call Yahweh, the Creator, Yahweh. They'll call Him God and Lord. And you like to say,
Jesus.
God was used 6,831 times. What's going on with this? But that's fact. And it's not going to change in our lifetime.
No.
As I can see, yeah. Let's see here. But he says give up. No, he doesn't. They end up taking Zedekiah. They ended up killing his sons in front of him.
Poking
and then blinding him. The last thing he saw was his children being murdered. And took him off in fetters. That was the counsel you received from the church of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And this is the result. When Jeremiah, the one voice was saying, give up, and you'll have your life. You'll have your life because Nebuchadnezzar is now in charge. We're going to see in Daniel, well, I've got a little bit long, and I'll just tell you where they are. So here is the people involved. Nebuchadnezzar, which is called Dan. And then we're going to go into the Persian Empire, which was Cambyses, which is called Darius, and a lot of other things. So he's in the book of Daniel. We won't go there, but Daniel 4, 34 to 37. He's the one that got tricked into putting Daniel into the lion's den.
Yeah.
And then he went and said, Daniel, you know, he tried to get him out because of the... he couldn't change things because of the Medes and the Persians. You know, once you made a law, you can't go against it. Daniel lived. He pulled him out and killed all the rest of the people. That's Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that's not Nebuchadnezzar. That's
Cambyses.
Cambyses, which is the father, the husband of Esther and the father of Cyrus. These are all supposed to be unbelievers, you know, or what they call the nations. But obviously Esther wasn't. And I believe, obviously...
Mordecai wasn't.
It wasn't either. But Cambyses was. But Yahweh's bringing deliverance through these people and not from Jerusalem. And that's Daniel 4, 34 to 37. Let's see, Daniel 5, 31, 6, 18 to 23. We're going to look at Cyrus now. And then some people say that he's a Gentile... Or nations. He wasn't Hebrew. I'm going to say that. I'm going to disagree with that. So let's go to Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. You know, these are supposed to be from the seed of David bringing deliverance. And actually, the seed of David was the problem. And it actually comes from Cyrus.
Which is the seed of Benjamin.
Yeah. For Ezra, you know, 1. Let's see here. In the first year of, you know, remember, King Cyrus was right up to Daniel's time. So Daniel went from Jehoiachin into Nebuchadnezzar into Belshazzar. You know, he's the one that had the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And to Cambyses, which they came over and took over Babylon, the Persian kingdom, to Cyrus. And in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh from the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh aroused the Ruach of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom, moreover also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh Elohim of the heavens. See, this is his God. And everybody goes, no, Cyrus wasn't his God. They had all these other gods. No, here's Yahweh, God of the heavens, given to me, and he himself hath laid charge upon me to build for him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people to go up? And they end up going up. Now, if we go to Isaiah 45:1. This is really important. Thus saith Yahweh to his Mashiach. Now, Christ is called the Mashiach. David is the Mashiach, the anointed. So Yahweh anointed
Cyrus,
and he's called a Mashiach of Cyrus, whose right hand I have firmly grasped to subdue before him nations. That's why I believe that, you know, his mother was Esther, which is a Hebrew. His uncle is Mordecai, which is a Hebrew. And he is a Hebrew. And that's why he can be anointed. So this is where we tied in last week with Aaron, with Nehemiah, Esther, Mordecai, all the different instruments. We're not part of Jerusalem. And so I'm looking at, which we talked about, the Christian corruption that's in our society, and we should not be alarmed, but be vigilant to expose it wherever it can. And obviously in love, but in some places it's not even worth the time. United Methodist is not even worth the time to speak of. They're gone. That's all there is to it. And sodomy is going to be entering the church as it has our nation, and it did to Canada and every place else, that's part of it. And if you speak against sodomy, you're put in jail. So that's what the technique is. But we're going to look at it. Now, here's Donald Trump. I think he's been divorced 3 times.
Twice.
You know, so you're people, But think of this. The March for Life. Here is an institution, a Catholic institution, to stop abortion. And so they went in Washington, D.C. and started in 1974 to march against abortion. 1974. Reagan was president in 1980. He didn't go. Both Bushes were president. They didn't go. The only president who has gone to the March for Life was who?
Nebuchadnezzar.
No. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. Donald Trump is the only one. But the church today will despise him because of his divorces. So he's an unorthodox. But no matter what, there was a guy named Jehu, they would say Jehu, who went after Ahab's kingdom. Yahweh anointed him, and he ended up killing all the children of Ahab. He killed
Asherah.
Jezebel, had her thrown out the window, killed all the prophets of Baal. And you know what he didn't do? The two gods that Jeroboam had done, he put one in Dan and he put one in Bethel, he kept those. And Yahweh knew that. And by doing so, that's like a Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. All right? So Yahweh used him and he wiped it all out. And Yahweh said, because of what you did, 4 generations can be your kings. And his sons became kings. And even though he allowed the sins of Jeroboam, Yahweh said, okay. But I think Donald Trump has been called this time, just like Nebuchadnezzar was called this time. Let's go back to Daniel, and then we'll finish there. Here is this wicked Nebuchadnezzar. You know, that is 4, Daniel 4, 34. And somebody want to read 34 to 37.
Yeah,
and so here's this wicked Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he could swing.
Cut your head off.
Yeah, he cut your head off. Awesome. But then all of a sudden, if you came right, he's 100% with you.
A little bit bipolar.
Yeah. People would say bipolar. But look what happens to him. He puts himself above Yahweh, and for 7 years he goes like an animal, and then all of a sudden he repents, and look at the prayer he says. Somebody want to read?
Where are we in Daniel
4? Daniel 4, 34 to 37. So look at this compared to Zedekiah, Jehoiakim, and the other kings, Manasseh and everybody else. Nebuchadnezzar is going to shine like a light. So who wants to read that?
Yeah, I'll read it. 34. It's interesting, you're reading that. Zedekiah refused to listen to Yahweh through Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar listened to Yahweh through Daniel.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, here they are.
Oh, yeah,
they refused.
Good point, yeah.
34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, mine eyes unto the heavens did uplift, and mine understanding unto me returned, and the Most High I blessed. And to him that liveth age abidingly, I have rendered praise and honor, whose dominion is an age abiding dominion, and his kingdom lasteth from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth as nothing are accounted. And according to his own pleasure dealeth he with the army of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth, and none there is who can smite upon his hand, or say to him, what hast thou done? At the same time, mine understanding returneth unto me, and for the dignity of my kingdom, my majesty and my brightness returned unto me. And unto me, my dearest friends and my nobles did seek. And over my kingdom was I restored, and surpassing greatness was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, am praising and extolling and honoring the King of the heavens, all whose works are truth, and his ways right, and them who walk in pride he is able to abase.
That is supposed to be the enemy, which is really the Savior, is Jerusalem. Okay, so end there, and we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father a word of prophecy for people. But Father, we thank you for these words. Our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua, abide with me and I will abide with you. Stand in my word and speak my word and meditate upon my word and kneel upon my words and claim those, because they are victorious words. I do not use them loosely, but they have power. So claim those words and speak to them and put them into your mind and ingest them, and they shall set you free from the captivity of the world, as this world is a dark place. All right. See you next week.